Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. And this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests on the show are going to provide you with tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. And our guests work in various professions, and they're at different stages of their career. So that means that we are definitely going to have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business career questions. We got them. They're right here. You just have to tune in. You just go to our archive page and everybody is there. So, exactly. If you want to check out our past guests and read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, and download any one of the shows. We've been on the air since 2008 and we have a ton. We've got Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony winners. Winners. Then we got people who are working professionally, and then we've got people who are just starting out in the business. So you're going to hear about the laurels and the accolades. You're going to hear everything. And we do shows with behind the scenes people like script supervisors, set designers, stuntmen. Then we do in front of the camera people, actors. We do singers, models, musicians, celebrity reality show stars. You name it, we got it. So go to the LA Radio website, latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website. It says Channel 1. We have Channel 1 and Channel 2. And there's also a new video channel. Channel 1. Click on the show's link, look for our show, which is Question Reality, and you just click that link. And that is what takes you directly to our archive page where you can view the list of the past guests. Now, you can also, if you want to hear me every day of the week, 24 hours a day, all right, maybe you don't, but at least once on Sunday, you can also download our free app for your Android and or iPhone. And listen to any one of the other exciting and informative shows. There's a whole bunch of shows on LA Talk Radio covering every single topic. If you are having problems in the old sack, there's somebody on the show that can help you just keep it up at all times. Now, that's sick, but there's people there. If you've got some psychological problems, there's a show to help you. I believe it's On the Couch with Michelle. Oh, please, I butchered that, but you have to look it up on LA Talk Radio. But you want to learn how to play guitar? They got everything on LA Talk Radio. The best, very best internet radio show. Won tons of awards from Talker Magazine. So just go there, LA Talk Radio, and talk. Yeah, you're already there if you're listening to me, but just check around, click around, and look at all the shows. So just download that app. It's on our homepage, LATalkRadio.com, and it's located towards the bottom of the page. So you have to scroll down a little bit, but it's down there. Now, our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section, and we're also on Stitcher.com, which is huge, as you know. So just go to their websites, type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and that's where you can find us. Now, if you want to find out about our future guests, people who are coming on Question Reality in the future, that's a whole different website. You have to go to my official website, which is QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. QuestionRealityRadioShow.com. Lots of exciting people coming up. As always, our guests, as you know, they are the top of the top. They're the best, the best, the best. Oh, but you know what? Before we introduce the guest today, I want to say happy birthday. No, not happy birthday, Mother's Day. I'm getting ready to do a birthday shout out because there's like five people who have birthdays today. No, happy Mother's Day to all my little moms. mommies out there listening to the show right now. And I want to do a special shout out to a super talented actress. Her name is Caroline Macy, and she is an aspiring voiceover artist, which is why I am highlighting her today, since we have the talented voiceover artist on the show today. Mr. Bill Ratner, BillRatner.com. I want you to go there right now while I do my advertisement. But he's fantastic. My goodness. I'll tell you about him in a minute. But I just wanted to, again, thank you, mothers, for listening. I get so many emails, especially when we do the shows where we have child actors come on, and the mothers, they contribute so much, and they give me so many great questions to ask. Really appreciate that. I am not a mommy, but I do make my my husband call me mommy on Friday nights, which is date night, but that's another story. But again, don't have kids myself. Can't even raise a plant, people. I go to Kmart. I buy my seedlings. I buy all the necessary stuff that you need to grow your plants. Follow the instructions to the letter, including talking and singing to the damn plants. But now, oh my God, now that I think about it, my talking and singing might be causing the plants to commit plant suicide. Jesus, God, I think I solved the mystery right there. Oh my God, I better stop doing that. But I think that they would probably flourish if I played voiceovers from our guest today. Again, Bill Ratner, voiceover artist. I want you, again, go to his website right now, BillRatner.com. You can go there now if you want to or after the show, but his fantastic golden, silky, smooth ear candy is what I like to call it. We are going to play his demo reel at 5:30, around 5:30 today. So 5:30, 5:35, somewhere around there. But again, BillRatner.com, fantastic, just an artist, just a voiceover artist. You can clearly give him that title. So please, please check it out. But first, I want to tell you about some special classes from one of my very first guests on the show. 8 years ago, this gentleman came on my show. He was a huge success. He's one of the geniuses in the voiceover business. His name is Mark Cashman. And I just found out, calling Mr. Bill Ratner, that he knows Mark Cashman. He's known him for over 30 years. So we are definitely going to have a little tribute afterwards. But I want to tell you about some classes he's doing. Very special. Now, you got to take advantage of this if you want to be a voiceover actor. He is, first of all, people are scared to take classes, I find. They usually cost a lot of money, or they cost money that you don't have. A lot of money is relative to the person. But if you want to sit in on a top-rated voiceover class and you live near Los Angeles, now you can, because, and you might even be able to participate. Mark Cashman, again, one of the premier voiceover instructors in the United States, he's making a few seats available. This is a one time only. So if you're listening to this show 6 months from now, it's not available. It is only available on the following dates. One time only. You can come in and audit some of his current voiceover classes over the next 4 Saturdays. From 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., that's for beginners, or 2:30 to 5:30, that's intermediate, on May 16, 23rd, 30th, or June 6th. You can see and hear him work with the aspiring voice actors in his voiceover studio. And you're also going to receive all of the scripts that that class, all the participants get. And again, as I said, possibly have the opportunity to join them behind the microphone doing the dialogues. It's really fun. It's a fast-moving 3-hour class. I mean, it's 3 hours, but it real fast, like Speedy Gonzalez fast. And wait till you hear this. You're just not even going to believe this. You have no excuse on how much it costs. It costs just $25. Come on, $25. That you spend that in coffee in one day. Now, payment can be made via Chase Quick Pay, a check, money order, or any major credit cards. No PayPal or debit cards. I don't know why it doesn't take it. I love PayPal, but for some reason, no. So again, if you're a beginner who wants to find out if you've got what it takes for voice acting, or you're an intermediate student who's had a class or two under your belt and you want to get better, or even if you're an advanced actor with a lot of training, a voiceover demo Or you can make your voiceover demo. These are the courses to take. So if you work during the week, don't be panicked, because classes are conveniently scheduled on Saturdays. And so the Cashman Cash of voice acting, it is going to give you the tools that you need. So go to his website if you want to check that out for the classes. And that's CashmanCommercials.com. C-A-S-H-M-A-N Commercials.com. And check it out. So I think it's fantastic. I mean, you can't beat $25. Come on now. You can scrape it together. Scrape it on up. So there you go. Now we are, oh my gosh, I was so excited when I was contacted to bring our guest today on the show. His name is Bill Ratner, and he is one of Hollywood's most popular voiceover artists on movie trailers, computer games, commercials, documentaries on the Discovery Channel, the History Channel, the Travel Channel, the Smithsonian Channel. He's the voice of Flint in the G.I. Joe TV cartoon, Robot Chicken, Community, and Family Guy. I think Ambassador Donnell Udina in Mass Effect 1, 2, and 3. And his spoken word stories air on the National Public Radio's Good Food, The Business, and KCRW Strangers. Bill is a 9-time winner of the Moth Story Slams and 2-time Best of Hollywood Fringe Festival Extension winner for solo performance. And very exciting for him, Familius Press just published his new book about the business. So if you want to know about the business, this is the book to get. It's called Parenting for the Digital Age, and it was just reviewed in Time Magazine. Again, we are going to hear a short demo of recent movie trailers, some of his network TV promos, and commercial work around 5:30. So you got to stay tuned. But without further ado, let's welcome to the show, hello, Mr. Bill Ratner.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with Bill Ratner and Priscilla Leona on Question Reality. This next commercial message will take 17 minutes long. Hello, I'm Bill Ratner. I'm Priscilla Leona's announcer for life. 10 minutes ago, I wasn't, but I just hired myself. That's the brilliance of the voiceover business. Priscilla, you're a huge star. I'm staring at my screen and my computer. I'm looking at IMDb. I mean, what do you do in Hollywood? You look on IMDb. Priscilla Leona, Our Fathers, Horse for Summer, Grab Life by the Ball, The Wonder Drug. You've got so many credits. I'm like Seth MacFarlane was when he called me because he was a G.I. Joe freak.
Stop.
I'm all a Twitter, as they used to say. They used to say, I'm
so
all a Twitter.
Funny. Well, you know what? Speaking of Our Father, I was one of the producers on Our Father, and it starred Michael Gross from Family Ties. You know, and we just got accepted. We've won every single film festival. I mean, we're blowing it out, and we just got accepted to Cannes.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Yeah. Our little short film is going to be at Cannes. So very exciting. This is the second project I work on that went to Cannes, and I'm so upset because I just can't get my ass over to France to actually see it.
It's important for everybody, not only to study voiceovers, but to get their asses over to France.
Once
your ass is in France, there you are.
So we're very, very excited about that. And I've just been offered my very, because I usually just do shorts, music videos, the documentaries. I could never commit to a feature. Oh my God, I don't have the patience. However,
it's a crazy business unless you're a star or the director of photography. I'm do what I do.
I was just asked to be a producer on my very first feature. It's called As Evil Does, and it's starring the wonderful, talented actor Bill Cobb and Dorian. Oh, my God, I can't remember his last name.
Can I ask you a secret question? Because you, number one, are so gorgeous. We've never met, but I'm looking at your picture. And number two,
Lord,
you've got all these credits in Hollywood. Do you secretly, you don't have to answer this, but I'm asking you in front of tens of thousands of years.
Millions!
Do you secretly take class ever? Acting? Do you ever study?
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Well, my background is in theater. I had an aunt that was a professional actress on Broadway. I'm from Connecticut, East Coast. So I had an aunt who worked as a professional actress on Broadway. So I actually got it started in community theater. So I used to do a ton of community theater. And I was acting and stage managing and then directing and then producing. And then I said, you know what? I finished my degree. I ended up getting a degree in business administration marketing. And I moved here to go to UCLA. And I took the film extension acting class at UCLA, and then I started acting classes. So yeah, I've been doing acting classes off and on, but that wasn't the reason I came out. I came out here to produce. That was my goal. But you know, in order to be a producer, I believe personally you really need to know the mind of an actor. So that's why I started taking acting classes. So yeah,
the mind of an actor. That's a good book title. Or like a, we'll bring the miniseries back from the 70s.
Yes.
The mind of an actor.
But I could never be a voiceover.
Bill Ratner with Priscilla Leona as Mrs. Ratner.
Oh, I am loving
that
title.
I'm being a little forward here.
I love that title, but I could never do what you do because your voice, I mean, you have to have a very special, special voice for that. So let's start out with a question that I'm sure everyone wants to know. And when Bill Ratner was a little itsy bitsy little baby, what did you see yourself being when you grew up? Because, you know, I wanted to be Wonder Woman, but did you see yourself in the entertainment industry? What did you want to do?
Yeah, when I was 12, I actually told my Aunt Anne, I'm going to be in the communications business, which I thought was a very sophisticated thing to say. Mm. And when I was 5, I became aware of the off-camera staff announcer on WHO Des Moines. I was watching some kid show. We'll be back with more cartoons and silly puppetry after this. And then this deep voice came on and said, the next commercial message will be 60 seconds long. And apparently in early TV they did that. And I listened to this guy for 60 seconds and his voice, and you couldn't see him, and he was mysterious, and he was like, you know, the wizard behind the screen. And I ran into the kitchen. I wasn't 6 years old yet. I was still in kindergarten. I said, Mom, Mom, I know what a minute is. And she said, what? Did you learn that in kindergarten? I said, no, the guy on TV, 60 seconds. She goes, oh. and so I was really fascinated with, as you know, every kid is, boys and girls, with media today as internet and webisodes and this and that and cable and so on. But back then it was network television or radio. And right. So, I was imitating, oh, but my voice sounded like this. My heroes were the Big Boss Rock and Roll Jocks, Elvis Presley, the Beatles, early cuts coming up. I mean, I listened to these guys and, you know, they're
Wolfman
sort of pretentious. Say again?
Wolfman Jack was my
favorite. The great Wolfman Jack. I met the Wolfman Jack, and he was a magical figure. He really was. He was like the Orson Welles of radio in his own way.
And I love the voice of that sports announcer. What was his name? The one that had the, you know, the toupee.
Howard Gozell. That's the one I remember. Yeah.
I loved him. Now, you are a very attractive man, so why would you choose being a voiceover actor instead of an in-front-of-the-camera actor? Because
actors are certainly listening, and this is, you know, about the face. As they say, you have a face for radio. I am halfway between being a character actor and a leading man, and I'm actually sort of neither. I was a halfway decent actor in the theater. You and I have similar background, although you started earlier and came from a pro family. But I loved radio, and I loved voice, and I was able to, I'm like one of those many kids who sits in the back of the class going, teacher, this is Abraham Lincoln, you know, and shut up, Randall, shut up, I gotta come to the front of the class. And so it's those of us, girls and boys who made silly voices and maybe did theater in high school, I didn't, who became voiceover people. And, you know, today is really a fabulous time for voiceovers because anybody with an internet connection can actually go on all these websites and kind of practice and try out and so on and spend the years that it takes. But, you know, the payoff is they pay money for us to do this.
What are, in your opinion, what are the pros and cons of being a voiceover actor today?
Well, the pros are, there's a pro and a con with the same answer. the con is, for some people who want to be stars, you really don't become a star because nobody knows you. The pro is you don't become a star and nobody knows you, so you have a life of complete anonymity. Except for the occasional celebrity who goes, I just did this Pixar narration and my kids are proud of me and I used to do stupid movies and now I'm a voice actor. But those are celebrities. You know, there are hundreds of us who you don't know our name, but you might know our voice, who do this and love to do it because we're queer for the microphone, literally, and have been since we were children. The microphone. Not necessarily the stage lights, although I loved doing theater as a kid and grew up learning about world literature from going to theater as a teenager. But voice is brilliant, and quality will out. And the title of your show, Question Reality, Question the Reality, is a great bit of advice to actors, which is how you use that title that says, question your reality of beliefs that says, oh, I couldn't do that. There are only, you know, a few dozen people who do it. Truth is, there are hundreds of people who do the voiceovers. And, you know, the goal is to be in the Screen Actors Guild and make the kind of money that you can as a SAG-scale player. I'm not talking about being a celebrity. But between here and there, there's lots and lots of work because most people who run America can't speak. I work for a ton of corporations as part of my gig, doing a non-broadcast, and I asked some guy from some big car company, I said, why am I doing this voiceover? And the new automobile Honolulu Hawaii leasing, Hawaii sales event. And he said, because the CEO of the company doesn't speak well. He's a salesman, you know, he's a killer, yeah. he's master of the universe, but he doesn't speak well. So it's those of us who, for however, whatever reason, speak well and do cold readings well that get the gigs. And one day we'll be replaced by computers.
Of course.
We want kind of a Priscilla Leona sound, yes. A little Orson Welles, yes. In there, and the, you know, and, yes. Alec Baldwin, you know, some male,
I like
authority.
His voice. Yeah, I like.
And
his
they'll dial it in, but between now and then, they got to hire us.
What was your most rewarding voiceover job, and why?
G.I. Joe for Hasbro in the 80s. They auditioned more voice actors, lots of old TV and movie character actors worked on that show. They auditioned more of us because they knew they were going to do a huge rollout of G.I. Joe and Transformers toys of those two series. And there's a lot of crossover between the actors on those shows. So they auditioned hundreds of us. And I got lucky enough to get cast as Flint. All right, Lady J, you got to get your battle gear on because Cobra's at their way and I can't bring up the laser threat weapon system, Priscilla. We've got to get out of here. Yo, Joe! So, I mean, 30-some years later, we still go to Comic-Cons around the country.
Are you going to Comic-Con in July? I'm going to
You know, I went to Long Beach Comic-Con.
Oh,
and, okay. But yeah, that was just
so
a huge. And so ever after that, you know, men who are now in their 40s, and a lot of girls also watched Transformers, who are in their 30s and 40s, they're running Hollywood. They're running television and film. So when they meet somebody like me and they don't know, you know, well, who is this guy? Wait a minute, he sounds, wow. And he doesn't know that it's Flint, or he listens to the great Mary McDonnell Lewis and doesn't know, wait a minute, she was Lady J, my God. But there's just we were very, very lucky. We became sort of subliminally recognizable as opposed to being a celebrity, which who cares?
Exactly.
Me the money. You know?
Show me the money, honey. Now, what, in your opinion, what are the first steps that a person should do or take to properly prepare to become a voiceover actor?
Go on voicebank.net, voicebank.net, and listen to every working voiceover actor in this country. Celebrities and non-celebrities. Voicebank.net. Go to voiceover demos and reels. You don't need to log in, nothing. And you can access, because audio is so great on the internet and fast, unlike video, which can sometimes get hung up. You can listen to 100 voiceover demos from 100 top people who do this in a matter of minutes. And then start to imitate them. And start to play on your own computer with GarageBand or any of the other free, or if you want to spend $80, buy Twisted Wave and put a recording platform on a computer and get a cheap mic and then get a better mic and start recording and start going on websites like Voice123 and VoiceOverResourceGuide.com. And there's more to read about voiceover, and it tells you exactly. ACX.com, owned by Audible, which is owned by Amazon. People are getting hired in their homes to read books by the hundreds every year.
Wow.
And so anybody who thinks, I'm a damn good reader, but I'm working as a secretary, or I'm working as a realtor, or I'm working as a whatever, go for it.
Because you mean they hire you? You can sit right at home in your damn underwear with dirt?
Absolutely, absolutely. And if you have a quiet room with no traffic noise and no street noise, and no, you know, your voice is not bouncing around, you can walk in every room in your house and just do this. Testing. Turn your head, listen to the walls. If it's echoing, that ain't the place. I have broadcast out of my closet. When I've been on the road, I have a Mac Air with me and a lovely $800 microphone and a $300 mic pre about the size of a roll of nickels. And I plug that in and I get my email and I actually do paying gigs on the road in a closet, standing there in a closet.
Oh,
with my clothes
gosh.
And the bathrobes of the Motel 6
hanging in the closet. Love it! Now, how do you get jobs like that? Is there like a website? You know, like Actors Access, you can go there, you put up your account, and then you get emails for all these jobs. Is there such a website for voiceover actors like that?
You have to be a little more wily in voiceover. You're going to be asked to pay anywhere from $99 to $299 to get access to auditions, and those sites are questionable unless you're sitting right by your computer. The second that email comes in, 50 people have already auditioned for it, voice123voices.com. But voicebank.net, where you can listen to the voiceover demos, you have to be a little more... the difference between being a voice actor and being an actor in Hollywood is a voice actor is more like a small business person. A voice actor is trying to get an agent, which can be a great help, but before getting an agent, you can do a million different things. You just have to figure out how to market yourself on the internet and how to send out a combination of emails and CDs. Emails are eminently deletable, so I, at this point in my career, still send out the occasional CD or group batch of CDs or batch of DVDs.
Absolutely. Can you become financially stable or even wealthy being a voiceover actor?
Well, it's just like stardom in any career. You know, there are only a few big movie stars that make that kind of money, and there are fewer in the voiceover business. But there are people who certainly make very, very good livings, like a lawyer would make or a doctor would make. You know, there's a few hundred of us around the country. And anybody who is, as I said earlier, queer for the mic, who loves the mic, and who says, hey, I like my voice and other people like my voice, but I can and will get better, those people can and will get better and have a shot at voiceovers.
Yeah, you got to have the passion for it. Is it true, now I've heard this, Bill, give me the scoop, is it true that most of the jobs that voiceover actors get are by word of mouth, that there's like an extreme click? Is that true?
Well, there are, you know, there is a
like
a
in
large,
theater.
There's a large group of employers in this country, and they whether they're on a cable channel and they're hiring a voice to do the history of Abraham Lincoln, or they're at an ad agency hiring you to do the new rollout to teen girls of Forever 21. Whatever it is, they're listening to hundreds of people a day, and the only trick is to get them to hear you enough so they go, oh, wait a minute, I've heard that person before. I don't know the name, but I like them. Let me see, who are they with? How do I get a hold of them? And so it's like being an athlete. It's like being in a band, you know, where you play a couple of clubs in your local town and then hope that maybe you can get into a festival of some sort, and then maybe you do, and then maybe you get into a bigger festival.
Now,
it's a bit like that, only, you know.
I heard that it's also very expensive to become a voiceover actor, that you got to pay a ton of money for these classes and then your voiceover this and that. Why is that true? And if so, why is it? Or is it just as expensive as the regular route an actor would take to promote and showcase?
It's like the regular route an actor would take. Okay. A regular route. Okay. You know, I mean, I asked you that question earlier. Do you study? And you said, of course, you're a theater person.
Yeah.
You had hundreds of great teachers from junior high school on. Every director was your teacher. And that's the same thing with
so it's nothing
acting.
Different. You still got? Do you still have to do like a resume? I mean, a headshot with your resume on back, or is the resume of the voiceover
the most
actor different?
The most important thing is maybe a web page, which kids can do for free these days. On if you're on a Macintosh, you have a piece of software in your applications that's iWeb. And I've seen beautiful websites made by 19, 20, 21-year-old kids for their to their voiceover demos, their video reels, their headshots. And that's one thing you need to have. You need to be able to send out a link. And you need to be able to have a CD that you can send out.
So
to take classes, it costs a little money. You know, I mean, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I took classes for 6 years.
Yeah,
I was in my 30s. I was a disc jockey. I was playing, you know, easy listening, you know, cover tunes of Beatles songs, playing for my voiceover classes. That's what I did. But I took voiceover classes for 6 years, just like taking an acting class.
Wow. Okay. Now, other than the obvious, Bill, of being late, flaking out for auditions, what are three things that you should never, ever do which might ruin your chances of booking jobs?
Eat food that causes intestinal gas before a session in a is one. The other is don't curse uncontrollably at the producer. And the other is don't be under the influence of nor reveal any possession of substances from scotch bourbon to marijuana.
Oh, my God.
Those would be the three rules, yeah.
Oh, and then that's going to be a little hard.
rules 4, 5, and 6 are practice.
Oh, God. Well, as promised, I want everyone in the world to hear the voiceovers. We're going to play a demo reel now with Mr. Bill Ratner. And you can get like a little sample of his amazing voice, just as sexy as anything. He reminds me, and I hope you don't get offended, but you remind me of that guy. You're like so smooth on that beer commercial. What's his name? Don Equis on that beer commercial.
Oh, yeah. I just want to warn people that listening to this demo, the only thing that you should really pay attention to is kind of the architecture of the demo itself. Mm-hmm. I picked pieces really for Priscilla's show here, specifically because I have like 7 different demos. I have like a 60-second demo for just movie trailers, one for just TV promos, one for just radio imaging, one for just commercials, one for just computer games and animation, one for just documentary narration, one for just corporate narration. This is just 30 seconds of pieces that are about, you know, 8 seconds long. This is about what a cut should be, except for longer demos. But people can make demos. Voicebank.net. I have no financial interest in that. And it's not even a friend. It's just a place where listen to demos. But this is a 25 seconds of overall sort of pastiche. But shouldn't tell anybody, oh, that's the kind of demo I need. What you really need is a commercial demo, then a promo demo, then an animation demo, etc.
Oh, okay. So each demo for a voiceover demo, it shouldn't have like a whole bunch of different types. It should just be all of one on each.
It should be a bunch of different types. The more types of demos you have, the better.
Okay.
The more ways an agent, if you're sending to an agent, the more ways they go, oh, gee, I could sell her as an animation voice, computer game voice, straight commercial voice. I could sell her even for a movie trailer. Her stuff is so great. I could sell her as a TV promo voice. Unless you have a demo for each one of those, they're not really going to believe
a potential client or a person that's hiring you a demo reel where it has your documentary and then your commercial work and then your trailer for commercial. All of it is same like comedy or film, your film trailer,
cuts, whatever,
all
with
on the same
cuts,
one,
all,
right?
All, I would say all in different MP3s and different tracks on the same CD.
So all group all your
One is going to be called commercial, the other is going to be called TV promo, the other is going to be called animation or cartoon or game voices, the other is going to be called news promo, the other is going to be called
documentary
narration, the other is going to be called corporate narration,
yeah.
The other is going to be called books, audio book narration, all separate.
So that's a little different from the actor when they send the demo reel or they post it. They like to put all
yes,
the
wrinkles
with it. So that's the difference, people. We just learned something different. So let's listen right now to go to his website, BillRatner.com. But let's listen to a little sample of Bill Ratner.
Only the fastest, strongest, most agile athletes rise as champions. As long as they don't chew the furniture. It takes Ahoy to make ice cream-inspired cookies, mint chocolate chip, and other new ice cream flavors from Chips Ahoy. On March 7th, a new breed of hero will be unleashed.
Need a lift? Put ahead a V8.
Hyundai, we don't know the word, can't.
They thought they found a way out of the dome, but CBS Next Monday, they'll face the cold, hard truth.
Oh my gosh, I love that! What? Well, you know, I heard a little bit, Bill. I heard a little bit of Mr. Don LaFontaine. Now, wait a minute, everybody. Of course, most people know the voiceover work of the late, great voiceover actor, Mr. Don LaFontaine. His legacy, to me, it remains like it's an inspiration for most voiceover actors.
He was a true artist and a stylist, and he wasn't a performer initially. He was a very young kid who was a recordist. He recorded the U.S. Army Band, and then he went to work for a guy who produced radio commercials in the 50s for Paramount and so on. And then he was a producer, produced tons and tons of movie trailers, both for radio and TV and the movie theaters. And he began to sort of stylize the in a world where time. So all of us have been influenced by his style of
absolutely
voice acting.
Yeah, there wasn't a voice he couldn't do, Bill, in the voiceover arena. He had such ease and fluidity, and the power just drew people into him. And when you heard his work, you just kind of stop whatever you're doing and you listen, because he was mesmerizing, and he just created the style, again, as you say, in which movie trailers are performed to this very day.
And he did an interesting thing in his career. He was the number one voice announcer in the world, doing every television network, every movie studio, not so many commercials, but every TV promo for every network, et cetera, et cetera. And he was on a whole bunch of magazine shows, 2020, Dateline, People Magazine, you know, Wall Street Journal, and so on. And suddenly, on one show on NBC, the guy at the end of the segment about him, because he was a great story doing everything, said, so wait a minute, so I'm done. You're working for everybody. You're working for NBC, CBS, UPN, et cetera, et cetera. United Artists, Warner Brothers, Sony, Disney. If I were a marketing executive, why would I hire you? And he said, in an extreme close-up, sitting in a director's chair with his name in the back of it, he said, well, I'm damn good at what I do. And it was at that point, and that particular 10-minute part of Dateline was shown over and over and over because it was evergreen and it's a great story. So over a year, it was shown probably four times on network television. And that was when the huge collection of employers in Hollywood and New York who do TV promos and movie trailers said, wait a minute, everybody's using Don, we love him. But geez. And so they started looking at other guys and other women. And so a bunch of us got sloppy seconds from Don LaFontaine's career. And they would say, we want you to sound like Don, sound like Don. In the world. I tried to sound like Don once on a promo and came in and did Tonight as a tag because they lost him and he couldn't get back to that night. And it sounded like he's doing the promo. This is Tonight. So I sounded like Tonight compared to him.
Now, I believe, and you can quote me, I'm pulling this out of memory, but I believe that Paul Pape and Joe Cipriano, they created the Don LaFontaine Memorial Voiceover Lab.
Yeah, Paul Pape was Don's best friend, and Joe Cipriano is one of the workingest promo guys and was also a friend of Don's. And it was their idea, along with Don's wife, Nita, a brilliant, brilliant singer, to create the Don LaFontaine Memorial Voiceover Lab at the Screen Actors Guild Foundation. And whether you're a SAG member or not, you can have access to this state-of-the-art, brilliant voiceover lab. And those of us who are on the advisory board teach there. And I teach, you know, as a volunteer, maybe once a quarter, how to do promos or how to do trailers or how to do documentary narration, along with, you know, 18 or 20 other brilliant top voiceover people who are teaching as volunteers through the Screen Actors Guild.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is everyone allowed to take the classes, whether you're union or non-union?
There are different levels. Everyone is allowed to apply, whether you're a SAG member or not, sagfoundation.org, and then just start looking for Don LaFontaine Voiceover Lab. And because it's
an encouragement to people. You apply online. Okay.
And once you get into the cycle of taking classes, everybody can see what a tremendous advantage it is to be in the Screen Actors Guild, because the rates that you get for everything are what you should get to pay for your health and medical. And people, lots of people have to work non-union because they're not in the union, but they will find that once they get in the union, the monies that they were paid non-union, what they're offered, is far, far less. So that's the advantage.
That is, and then do they offer a program after you complete the classes, like to teach you the business aspect of how to get a career, how to get a job?
I've seen people in class over and over and over. I did it for 6 years, but we didn't have Dalla Vontaine Lab. I had to pay for it commercially. So people could just take class for as long as they need to. They get help with their demos. They get career advice from agents and managers and voiceover people. That's what goes on, SAGFoundation.org.
That is fantastic. Now, you and I briefly talked about this, but I want to rehash it on the air because you gave such sage wisdom about union versus non-union. I personally thought that all of the movie studios only hired SAG after people on their projects, but recently I found out that they actually try to hire non-union voiceover actors first. First of all, is that true? Because it was someone that told me that. Is it true? And if so, why do they do this? And is it okay? Or what are your feelings
about?
Well,
it's especially true in animation and computer games, where about 15% of the work is union. But the big houses like Electronic Arts and the houses that produce Grand Theft Auto and so on, these are, you know, huge productions like tentpole motion pictures. They cost as much as Transformers 4 does to make. They hire union actors because they find they want, you know, they can pay the $850 to the actor, and, you know, the residuals are small, and they're getting their, you know, they're making, Grand Theft Auto 5 made $1 billion in its first 3 days. You think I'm kidding? In its first 3 days of release, it cost about $200 million to make. And so they can afford to pay a handful of actors $850, do the math. And non-union, smaller games, you just get a lot less money is all. You just get less, and you're not really guaranteed payment. I mean, if you have an honest employer, then okay, fine. But people are doing sessions for $150 or they could get $850, and a celebrity gets $25,000. You know, so you don't want to sell yourself short as an artist, and you want to be able to pay the rent, but ultimately you want to get into the Screen Actors Guild after. And
What do you feel about voiceover actors who could join the union, but they decide to continue to do non-union work because they said that they get much more work and they have to make a living?
Well, for people who are just looking at commercials, for people who are actors or voice actors and they're just looking at commercials, union commercials don't happen every day. But if you're doing all kinds of things, you can sustain yourself in a career doing nothing but union work. And if you're doing non-union work, the goal, of course, is to get in the union and get better money. And there are most of the commercials, the vast majority of commercials you see on television and hear on radio, are done by union people at union rates because union rates are cheap. We're talking a television commercial with a $550,000 budget. A non-union actor is getting $250 a day on or off camera, $250 for a $300,000 commercial budget, a couple hundred more dollars, $850 a day plus a 15% contribution into your health plan, doesn't cost the advertiser that much.
Mm-hmm.
So when advertisers want top talent, they pay union. So it's everybody's goal should be to be in the union.
Yeah, I would think that. Personally, I would think that if you're just starting out, maybe you can do some non-union work, see how it is, check it out, see if you like it. If you're booking regularly, you're getting a lot of non-union work, you say, hey, I can get even more in benefits, so let me join the union. So aside some money. I mean, it is costly. I don't know. I imagine it's the same as what we pay SAG actors. I think it's like, I don't know, $1,500 to join.
Well, you know, there's a good parallel. I mean, when you look at a city like L.A. or New York or any city in America these days, there are lots of low-paid workers who do everything from bus tables to assist on job sites, building a house. And those people are low-wage folks, getting the lowest wage in the country, and they're the ones willing to take the work. in the voiceover world, in a small microcosmic way, the people doing union work are essentially the low-wage workers. And it should be everybody's goal to improve their lot, mm-hmm. to not be a low-wage worker because you can hardly live on it, to, like a truck driver, you know, if you're a truck driver in this country, it's best to be in the Teamsters because you have a health plan for your family and you get a decent hourly wage. You've heard stories about truck drivers who are not in the Teamsters and they ended up, working their hearts out, driving the highways of America for basically not much more than minimum wage. So it mm-hmm. should be everybody's goal. If you have the capability
to improve your status,
to make the companies pay what they should be paying to people so they can make a living.
Yeah, and the protection that you get from the unions. I mean, they go out there and they fight for you legally, health-wise, et cetera. So that should be your goal. Now, we only got 5 minutes, and I want to talk about your new book, Parenting for the Digital Age, about voiceover business. First, what is the book about? Then I want to know, what was your motivation to write the book? And is it a paperback, audiobook? Where can we find it? So all those questions.
It's a paperback. It's called Parenting for the Digital Age. I learned more in early voiceovers by going to my elementary school and volunteering to be a reader. They have that program through SAG and through local churches, and you can go into elementary schools and read. I learned more about how to read and how to do voiceovers standing in front of a group of kids reading from a book. I really had to entertain them. I had to get it out clearly and keep their focus. And so I started doing that in schools a lot and created a program for kids of media awareness for children. And I was at a storytelling conference getting paid to tell a story and teach a workshop called Voiceovers for Storytellers. And the lady said, "Ever thought of putting this in a book?" And I said, "No. Why do you ask?" And she and her husband had just started Familius books for the family. So I wrote about all the stuff that I've done, including G.I. Joe and playing Barbies and the lady who played Barbie for 9 years and her career and on and on and on, and children's television and what it all does to kids and to be told by the best advertisers in the world to buy, buy, buy. And it's all in the book, Parenting for the Digital Age. It's been a lot of fun. Done a lot of TV. I got reviewed by Time Magazine. I was thrilled.
Wow! Was it an article right in? They actually put the article in the Time Magazine, and if so,
Where's the edition?
Where is it? I want a copy.
It's a really. It's called 8 Ways to Help Cure Your Teen Screen Addiction, and then she talks about my book. I was thrilled. But the fun of it is, if they're young parents listening, and you hand your kid the iPhone or the iPad because you want them to stop screaming in the airport or at the restaurant, that makes sense. You just have to make sure that you have a plan for when they get a little bit older, that you control the use and that kids have fun with their digital equipment but don't spend too much time with it.
Oh, so this is not a book about how your children can become voiceover actors in the business. This is about
it is. If you were a mom or a dad reading this book, or if you were an 18-year-old reading this book would tell you exactly how to become the voiceover man that I did, Priscilla. Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of stories about radio and about how I got into it and getting an agent and doing G.I. Joe and being into networks. And there's a lot.
So we want to buy the book. Where can we go to buy it? Obviously, your website, BillRatner.com.
Go to Amazon.com and put in Bill Ratner, R-A-T-N-E-R.
Amazon.com,
and there it'll be.
Parenting for the Digital. Well, I want an autograph copy and if you could put a little bit of red lipstick on and give me a kiss on the page.
Oh, my God. this is the part of your show I've been waiting for.
Real quick, what is exciting coming up for Bill Ratner?
I'm going to sign books in New York City.
Where?
In 2 weeks at BookCon. And the Independent Book Publishers Association and BookCon at the Jacob Javits Convention Center. And hundreds of authors are going to be signing books and talking with people sitting on the floor. So it's
sitting on the floor? Yeah. Well, you're
walking the floor of these big book conventions.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to be sitting around like a bunch of hippies with a bong.
There you go. That's the scene I'm looking for. That's
so
it.
So where's BookCon going to take place? Do you know
The weekend of the 27th through the 31st of May.
27th through the 31st. So if you want to see Bill Ratner and get a little autographed copy, go and check him out at BookCon. Well, yeah. I got to tell you, Bill, you sexy little golden silky voice beast. I thank you so much for coming on the show. It was such a thrill. And gosh, I hope you come back next year maybe and come on
Thanks,
the show.
Priscilla, you are a star. I'm honored to be in your company.
Oh my God. Okay, so let's take us out with Bill Ratner giving me a voiceover improv, Priscilla Leona hosting the Question Reality Radio Show, which provides show business career advice. However you want to say that. Give it to
we'll
me,
We'll be back
Bill.
With more of Question Reality right after this word. Priscilla Leona has been involved in the entertainment industry for over 20 years, and now she questions reality. Question Reality Radio Show at LATalkRadio.com, starring, you'll hear the name, folks, big time, Priscilla Leona. Brought to you by Mark Cashman Commercial Voiceovers. Mark's been my friend for 30 years, folks, and he does teach for a living. And, yeah, that was the guy that Priscilla mentioned earlier in the show. Brought to you by Mark Cashman Commercials. But don't forget, Priscilla Leona, look to the sky, for her name will be in the stars.
You are so good. Well, you know what? I'm going to have to break my piggy bank out and start saving, because I'm going to have to hire you to do a promo for my movie.
I am free forever.
Oh, help me now. You heard it, people. Free forever. Give him a little cocktail. And woo, Bill is my man. Thank you so much, Bill Ratner. Go to his website, BillRatner.com. Thank you, Bill. Say goodbye to your fans, Bill.
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you. Thanks, Priscilla. What fun.
I love you, baby. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.